This Heidi, Xavier and Ryan catch up is for the epic new Optus prepaid plans.
The Heidi, Xavier and Ryan catch up on Hits 92.9. In this catch up,
talking about my generation star Sean McAuliffe.
The Heidi, Xavier and Ryan catch up on Hit 92.9 with Heidi Anderson, Xavier Alice and Ryan John.
Dua Lipa.
Yep.
We Our love mate. Her on this show.
Would yep. she be number one female artist in the world at the moment?
I reckon.
She's, it has to be.
She's on everyone's lips. Yep. And yeah. the reason why on the weekend she was performing in Atlanta and people just couldn't get over the fact that she was bouncing around on stage with no bra on and a little jumpsuit.
Whoa. Ooh. It's like overall sort
so,
of thing.
So, because, you know, she works. She's pretty much doing a workout.
I'm not going to lie. She's really, really sexy.
Yeah, unbelievable. Oh. She's hot.
No, I'm being, okay. I'm being honest. Like, she is there
was,
stunning.
There yep. was something about her when she was in the studio as well.
What do you think seeing that hides?
Well, I think, damn girl, the struggle is real for me, and there is no way I can bounce around with no bra on.
Oh, is that what we're talking about?
If you know what
about?
I'm saying.
So we're going down that path, right.
Yeah, the struggle is real, and I don't know, you guys probably haven't ever experienced this, and I don't think you ever will when you, you know, as you age and you get dad bods maybe in the future, like you might feel a little bit
I'm not going to lie. I was running the other day, and I do feel it stretching on my chest.
Yeah.
So that's...
So you might feel the pain here.
No, slightly.
So I am not necessarily a big... boobed girl anymore, but I used to be. I used to be almost ease.
Whoa.
Now, this is when
couple
I was
of Ernie Elses.
this is when I was living in Bunbury.
Yeah.
And then obviously age, they start to sag, and then I've lost weight, so therefore yep. my breasts were the first to go. One of my girlfriends, we had a laugh at this because we're like, damn, we're getting old because she's bouncing around
this
on stage.
This little 22-year-old, yeah. braless, whatever.
My girlfriend has to tape hers down. To what? Exercise.
What about just using a, don't you girls have sports bras?
Well, yes, but she can't, because they're big, she can't find one that really supports her the way that she needs to be supported. Now, I've suggested a breast reduction in future because she gets
yeah.
really bad
yeah.
Back pains and everything, but she doesn't want to have that until she has kids, which is so fair yeah. enough.
Why is that in terms of what does that do?
There's something to do
it's
with-
like breastfeeding stuff, right?
Yeah.
They're not cutting them off.
No, but I don't know if it's, that was just her thing.
Okay.
Like, don't let yeah. me get technical there because I okay, might offend sure. people.
Yeah.
Do some people hide where two sports bras if they just yep. want it to yeah. really hold it down?
Yeah.
Has she tried the triple layer?
She's tried everything and she's like, the best thing for me is like, I just tape them. And I'm like, that
tape
must
them.
Be so painful because I've told you before, girls sometimes have little hairs on their boobs. When you rip the tape
like,
off.
You're like waxing your nip hairs
yeah,
at once.
Exactly.
Two for the price of one.
My auntie, I feel sorry for her. She has to have her bras made from New Zealand and delivered to Australia.
Just to get the right size.
The struggle is real, ladies and gentlemen.
Is your
the
auntie a bigger lady?
No, she's quite short and yeah. they have sagged over the
to
years.
To the belly buttons.
A poor thing.
Ugh.
Yeah, but she never wanted to have any cosmetic surgery. She just said that, you know, this is who I am. And I was like, of course.
But you got to find something to help you
out. So you've got to find something to help you out. So she gets her bras made.
I'm in real grey area, Ando. I'm pretty close to saying something silly. So
don't worry,
are we
Zaves,
doing? What are we doing,
my
Ando?
My time's almost up here, so I'll check out the 131060.
Yeah,
the struggle is real. How bad are bouncing boobs?
Okay.
I want to hear from bigger breasted women. What yeah. do you do? How do you survive?
Are you wearing four bras at once? Are you wearing sticky tape?
Yeah.
I'm happy to hear from bigger breasted women anytime you want. So 131060.
Yeah, 131060 or Xavier Ellis's DMs on Instagram, either way.
Catch up with Heidi, Xavier and Ryan on the Hit app. Download it today.
Let's go to Applecross. Rose, is the struggle real?
Yes, the struggle was real. I had to have a breast reduction.
Oh, no. Rose, so talk to us. What happened? Like, was it just that you couldn't exercise or just even live day to day?
Yeah, pretty much everything. So I'm only 5 feet tall and I had double H boobs.
I didn't even know it went to H.
So...
I was only 18 at the time as well, so, it was crazy. And they told me that I wouldn't be able to have children because my back wouldn't be able to support the weight of having a baby and my boobs.
Now, Rose, I don't know if this is an inappropriate question, but I'm just setting the scene for some people who aren't that great with breast sizes, like a double H. What is it like the equivalent of one breast?
Watermelon?
A watermelon,
Maybe a basketball.
Oh, good goodness gracious me.
And then you've got two, and then obviously for some people they can be quite heavy. Some people are lucky they're light, but some people they can be quite heavy, can't they, Rose?
Yeah, Yeah, I had really bad back and neck trouble. Now I just feel so liberated.
So Rose, if you don't mind me invading your private space, so you were you're a H. What did you reduce yourself to?
So I'm about a double D now.
Is that perfect for having children and stuff?
Yeah, I think so. I still haven't had any, but
and changing your whole life, like she said, being 5 foot tall. That's like my girlfriend who tapes hers. She's 5 foot as well.
Oh, because it's like a height, obviously. Yeah.
And it's just hereditary. Like everyone, I don't know if breast size can be hereditary. Actually, I don't know.
Yeah, but I've seen a few families.
In her family, like everyone is really quite big boobed.
Yeah. Right.
Let's go to Sarah. Is the struggle real, Sarah?
Hi, it is. Yes, I have also had a reduction, and also my sister as well. So basically, when I have to exercise, I have to wear a sports bra, a smaller crop top, and then a sports top with an inbuilt sports bra.
The triple.
Wow. So you go the triple.
Yeah. Got to.
And so how, if you don't mind us asking, we hope we're not prying into your personal life, but how big did, like, if you can give us kind of like the picture.
A fruit and veg.
Well, so I was an F before my reduction, and then I went down to a D, and then when I had my son, they grew back. Whoa. And now I'm to an F again.
And so what, are you going to have another reduction or...?
Oh, I don't know. I'm thinking about it.
Do you get a refund?
Your money back, or do they tell you that?
Well, it was like they could grow back, but the chances were slim, but they did.
Wow.
So I was one of the unfortunate ones.
Now, Sarah, I'm into the magic of medicine. Now, how do they actually reduct the boob? Like, do they just stick a suction pipe in there or...?
No.
Oh.
Well,
I thought that was 100% what happened.
No, you go underneath. No. You go under.
So mine was like the lollipop cut, they call it. So they go around your areola and then down.
Oh, yes.
And then they just take it out.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow. I thought it was like a hose. Just like.
That's liposuction,
I think.
Okay.
But I don't know.
Thank you, Sarah, for sharing that with us.
The struggle is real. I feel for my big-breasted sisters.
So do I. So do I.
Same feels for all
of us. And brothers out there like me.
Catch up with Heidi, Xavier and Ryan on the Hit app. Download it today.
I want to talk about the most inspiring person I have ever met in my life.
I'm not on the canvas. I'm on the ropes.
What round are you in?
I'm late in the game.
Late in the game.
I'm on the ropes and I'm looking to tag in someone. And look, I know... the disease will get me, but I'm hoping the vitamin D army, you people out there, will continue the fight. I don't know how long a treatment and cure will take, but we need people to continue the fight when I can't keep swinging.
Now, of course, that's Neil Danaher. If you don't know who Neil Danaher is, he played at Essendon for 11 years. He coached Melbourne for about 230 games in the early 2000s. Now, Neil Danaher also spent a long time at West Coast. He's suffering from MND. So MND is motor neurons disease, which is when your nerve cells, which control your movement, speaking, breathing, swallowing, when they don't fire, they dissolve, evaporate, and eventually they die. So Neil Danaher, it's incurable what he has got. He will die from MND. There's no other way to put it. And he'll eventually turn into a vegetable because his muscles waste, everything wastes. His mind's still as sharp as a tack.
Yeah,
his mind still continues on.
That's surely worse, right? Knowing that they're fully active and sometimes you kind of would hope they kind of just drift off.
And he is a very smart, very funny, one of the most inspiring people I've ever met. Now, Neil Danaher has gone since he got diagnosed with MND.
Which was when, Zaves?
He was at West Coast, I'd say 2013, I reckon. Now, it's actually a bit strange. So when he was diagnosed at West Coast, he didn't know, obviously, prior he had it. But the boys started to notice something was a bit strange, like slurring his words a little bit every now and then. And a couple of them thought, geez, Danaher's
hit the bottle or something.
Something's going on. So... turns out he had MND. Now, a lot of people can, poor me, which of course you've got every right to. It's an incurable disease.
Yeah.
He has jumped on the horse and has raised over $30 million. He'll get up over $35 million today. Today is the day Fight MND, which is his cause, at the MCG. They do the The Big Freeze. Now, all 18 AFL coaches have flown to Melbourne for this thing. So they'll go down a slide into a bucket, into a massive pool of ice, dressed as whatever they want, I think. Now, to get all 18 coaches into one place, amazing. Gil McLachlan, who runs the AFL, tried to conduct a meeting tonight, straight after all 18 coaches are in Melbourne, and he got 12. They're all in Melbourne, and they said, nah, Gil, you're not worth it.
Sorry, but mate, we're busy.
Neil Danaher is worth every minute of our time. So they've all flown over for it.
Yeah.
Now, he's raised, as I said, it's going to go. The government's going to match up to $2 million today. So if you get a chance, jump on Fight MND, donate some money. They've got these amazing beanies. They're probably nearly sold out because I've seen them absolutely everywhere.
You were wearing one the other day.
Yeah, so they're 20 bucks, I think, or 25 bucks. So
do they do the slide before or after the game?
Before.
Someone who's just came into AFL in the last couple of years, I always wondered, like I knew they did the Big Freeze, but I didn't know who they did it for or why it started.
So Neil Danaher is the reason why, and I think he had a couple of friends helping him. And as you heard, he's throwing as many punches as he can. He is on the rope, so you can tell by the way he speaks, he's slurring his words and whatnot, but what a brave man and inspiring thing he's doing.
Unbelievable. So when he's here at West Coast, Zave, like, is he a bit of one of those old pranksters or what's his deal when he's around the club?
So I've got a pretty funny story for you. So when we flew to away games, there was six business class seats at the front of the plane. Now, they were often given to the bigger players, which were the Josh Kennedys, the Nick Natanuis, who obviously make enough money to, if they want to upgrade themselves, I felt as though they should pay the upgrade.
Do you mean bigger physically or as in bigger in name?
Well, just coincided with name,
height,
bank check, all that sort of stuff. Now, I thought because Sam Butler, who retired from West Coast last year, he was the only remaining West Coast premiership player on the list. So I thought, this is bull dust. If you've won a premiership, everyone is striving to win a premiership for West Coast.
Yep.
If you've been good enough to win West Coast a premiership, you should be the first person in business.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, that irritated me for a couple of weeks. Now, I thought also if I get one premiership player up, that might mean the second one gets to follow, even though it wasn't at West Coast. So I've wandered over to Danners with Sam Butler behind me, who was, probably player 10 to 15, like not a star, but a really good contributor.
But he'd won a premiership.
Won the premiership. So I wandered over to Danners and said, look, mate, I've got an issue with who sits in business. And he's like, what's the issue, mate? I said, well, we're all striving to be premiership players. Sam Butler has put it on the line for West Coast. He deserves to be sitting up the front. I've had enough of these big blokes here sitting up the front.
They could upgrade themselves.
We all have emergency rows anyway. So the room's not an issue. Sam Butler should be right up the front. And he goes, Save, that's a really good point. Can you do me one favour? I said, what is it, Dan? As he goes, you go over to Sam Butler. And I was like, I've got this over the line. He goes, tell Sam Butler to know his place. And we sat in emergency rows for the next 3 years.
Catch up with Heidi, Xavier and Ryan on the Hit app. Download it today. Sean McAuliffe is an Australian actor, comedian and writer.
I think it's important to A, learn my lines.
His quirky, sharp mind.
Now I'm getting my hair cut next week.
Sean Bright in the sketch comedy Full Frontal and led to many other programs on telly, like the current one he hosts, Talking About Your Generation.
Yeah, yeah, yes.
Finally, here he is doing an impression of Xavier Ellis.
Let's go down the pub and have some pints. And I'll be well lit up by 8 o'clock.
Please welcome the brilliant Sean McAuliffe.
Wait a minute.
Sean, welcome.
Thank you. No, where did you get those bits from? They're private conversations, I think.
So we were just saying then that it was 6 years between the last Talking About Your Generation finishing and it sort of coming back again. How do those conversations sort of happen?
Yeah, well, we just thought programs are rested occasionally. Yes. They're rested.
Wasn't canned, it was rested.
It was
one
rested.
Of those?
Yeah. No, well, yes, it was rested. Yeah. I did a Tonight Show many years ago. That was probably 13 years ago. That's been rested. So we thought that Talk About Your Generation got its breath back, so we'd bring it back.
Sean, I'm into my 14th year of a university degree, which is meant to take 3 years. Sometimes things take time and need to be rested and then
they
come
do.
Back and back and forth.
They're going to be you're going to be better for it. The fact that it's taken how many years?
This is 14 now.
14 years to do. What is the subject you're studying?
It's Bachelor of Business Sports Management.
Oh, okay. Well, you don't need that anymore. You could probably be lecturing there.
Exactly. That's what I figure.
Oh, like,
I should just be credited most of the subjects.
I'd quit. I wouldn't worry about it.
Speaking of university, I'm always fascinated, Sean, to read that you were like an insurance lawyer. Is this correct? Because I'm a former accountant, so I'm kind of like wanting the nerds to represent.
Yes. Well, I went to university and finished my degree. But it only took 4 years.
Okay.
In those days.
you must have flown
through it. Did you do a law
degree? I did a law degree, 4 years.
And yeah, so right. What made you do the change to TV really, and comedy? And?
But when I was at uni, I used to do this sort of stuff anyway. I used to do sketch shows.
Kind of like Andy Lee, who's on the show. Yeah,
we do. We have reviews and things like that. So I always sort of did it on the side. I used to write for a show called The Big Gig. You guys would be too young to remember, but Glenn Nicholas was in it, and he's a, you know, I don't know him.
Oh, I sort of remember. Yeah, remember I'm a comedy nerd.
Yeah. Well, so I used to continue to write even though I was being a lawyer. So it didn't really – it just seemed like I was just increasing the emphasis on the writing.
Yeah.
And then eventually I just gave the law away and then thought I'd see whether this worked or not.
Yeah. How did you get your first gig on TV? Do you still remember the moment that it happened, like the phone call or
– No, there was no phone call. I didn't get discovered in any way. No, I was I was writing for Jim Owen.
And
he had a television show on Channel 7 and I was one of his writers.
Yeah.
And we were going to watch Jim. We'd watch Jim do shows at the Athenaeum Theatre and he'd try material out and they needed a few people in the background. So I was in the background and then suddenly I had a line with Glenn Robbins and then Glenn Robbins said, hey, you know, you got an interesting voice. You should do voiceovers for the show. So I was doing voiceovers for the show and then eventually when Full Frontal started, they got me in to do similar sort of things. So it was kind of, I didn't notice. There wasn't a moment where I said, yes, I've been discovered.
I made it.
I just kind of realized after about 4 years that I was actually on television.
What was your favorite like ever sketch? Because my girlfriend is a winemaker and I can't tell you how many times I've watched you try to walk down the stairs into the wine cellar that keeps going upside down.
Oh, yeah. YouTube it, kids.
So basically, to paint the picture, the room, how do you make, the room is sort of, must be rotating, but so is the camera. So it doesn't look like you're going upside down, but suddenly you're walking on the roof and it seems like you've drank 1,000 wines.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. You've already drank a couple of bottles of wine, surely.
That's right.
So how does that get made? How's that work?
Well, that's exactly, you described it perfectly. You mount the camera on the set and the set itself was on a giant sort of barrel and you just what we did is no huge technical feat. We used to just get the crew in to jump on ropes and pull the thing over so it went 90 degrees one side and then run around the other side and pull it down so it was 90 degrees the other, so it went 180 all up.
So do you have, because that's my favorite, do you have a favorite of all the things you've done and look back and go, oh, that was a great one?
Something a little, yeah, that was pretty energetic, that one. So I prefer the ones where I'm just sitting at the desk and reading the order cue. My favorite show now is of course Talking About Your Generation.
Of course, on Channel 9 now at 7:30, we have Andy Lee, who is, of course, one of the team leaders, and then Robin Butler as well.
Yes, and also Gen Z. Don't forget Generation Z.
Oh, whoops, didn't read that one. Lawrence Boxhall.
Wouldn't be much of a show if it was just Generation X and Y. Yeah.
Catch up with Heidi, Xavier and Ryan on The Hitter. Download it today.
Everybody knows that the stork brings the baby.
How babies born.
Where babies come from.
Sperm egg collide.
What do you mean sperm egg collide?
Birds and the bees.
Up the Duff by Kaz Cook. As interpreted by Xavier Ellis.
Week 23.
Week 24.
Now, of course, this is the book that was handed to me by a listener who said, you know what, you might not have a clue what you're doing, young man. Have a read of the book. Well, much to people's surprise, I might not have an idea what I'm doing. You know, I was obviously all over the size of female boobs and stuff before, so I've got a really good grasp on actually what the female body's doing.
You knew how to make the baby.
I worked that out. That's well, I assume it was mine. And it's
but
not...
you did pat M on the head one day. That's how this all unfolded.
I did. I patted her on the head when I tried to comfort her. I didn't know what to do. So I am a fish out of water at the moment. So I've been sent this book and I've been told, you know, it gives you advice and what to expect and all that sort of stuff. So week 23 was the last week and I just sort of read through it. Obviously, we were away for a long weekend last week. Now, I've been told that the baby's growing so much that Emily's bladder is starting to get squished. So even though she's not full of water or whatever fluids needing to wee, the little fella's foot might be jamming in there or his head might be. Does she need to wee more? This morning at 4:30, I'm having a shower. In she wanders, near on sleepwalking, in her little onesie. And you know, little onesies that have got like the pouches at the back?
Oh, little butt flap.
Yeah, little butt flap.
Like a baby one.
Yeah. And she, well, yeah, like a baby one, but out the backside. It? No, just, it's like a bit of elastic.
Yeah.
And she just sat there, weed, and then walked out. So I can confirm that, without saying a word to me, that the bladder is actually squished and she is urinating a hell of a lot more.
Wow.
Now, I've also been recommended to take her on a holiday. Go traveling somewhere. Perfect time for it.
What's it called? Like the baby moon? Lots of friends have gone on a baby. It's a new thing. Like, don't we? We try and holiday for everything these days.
That's right. So this weekend I'm taking Em to Melbourne.
Beautiful.
For a premiership reunion. So that'll be good. There's four functions.
Well, at least she can drive you.
Well, she'll get some good practice how to care for a baby,
I'd imagine.
The whole
reason she got pregnant was so that she couldn't go to the reunion and I could go to the 10-year Hawthorn reunion. And it's plus one. Is that not the case?
That's not the case.
That's a real shame.
You can still buy a ticket if you'd like.
I prefer a free one.
Now, what they've also said to me is at this stage, at 24 weeks, say Em does have the baby today, there's a very high chance it can survive.
Really?
So a little preemie baby.
Yep, it'll obviously spend time in IC, intensive care, because of the concern around the lungs.
Yep.
But if you have a child 16 weeks early, I thought you'd be absolutely fried, but you can actually have the child with, obviously, it would stay in care for a long time, but that was interesting.
That's a bit of a milestone.
So it is, and obviously that doesn't happen to everyone, sadly, which
it doesn't.
Is
it doesn't.
Tragic.
There's a chance it survives, a good chance, but it doesn't for everyone. Now, I've been told, and I don't know whether I'm sort of picturing this differently, but if Em's lying on her back, I need to roll her like she's a spit, like on a spit roast.
Is that the word they use? Do they use the word spit roast?
No, that's what I'm picturing, because what can happen is the baby can squish a vein, the uterus can squish a vein and cause her to pass out.
What?
Yeah, so the blood flow stops and she faints. So
you can roll her.
So I'm just going to roll her around like a pig on a spit.
Have you got one of those big trestle things with the handle?
I could say so many things that I'm just not allowed to say right now.
Imagine if I came home with something and said, look, if you just hold on there and I'll just roll you over a couple of times and away we go.
Put this apple in your mouth, see how we
go. And so what's the size of the baby right now? Because I know you've also got that
23 centimetres, 630 grams, and I'm booking in with a friend birthing classes, which apparently they show you the most graphic of graphic things, tears and splits and goodbye.
Because I did it with my friend when her husband worked away, and I said, well, I'm not going in the birthing suite with you now.
So,
have you had a scan recently and stuff?
I've had a scan recently, actually. So what happens is when you go have a scan, you go in, the nurse looks at the baby and then spots the legs and then takes screenshots virtually of about 15 different things, and then the doctor comes in and goes, yep, can you show me, just to save time that the doctor doesn't have to search for it. Tick through. The brain looks healthy. Yep, there's the heart. There's both the legs. And then, so she did all of them. And the last bit was she whispered to the nurse, was that part obvious? And the nurse goes, oh, yes. Very, very obvious.
So the little, the little Wilson.
His Wilson's going to be a big one.
Catch up with Heidi, Xavier and Ryan on the Hit app. Download it today.
Now, guys, last week I had the 1 litre cans of LB beer.
Yes.
Yep.
This week we're
doing something. In front of them.
Absolutely. LB beer made by WA. But this week we've got something else going on. Guess what?
Well, this is actually hilarious because they've got life-size cutouts of you in certain businesses around Perth.
Exactly right. There's certain bottle shops that have got cutouts of me with the LB beer. Now, if you buy a six-pack or a carton, take a photo next to me in store where the life-size cutout is. Upload it and tag Hit92.9, made by WA. You get your chance to win my weight in beer.
So how much beer are we talking then, Zave?
Without going into your details of how much you weigh.
Around 100 kilos.
So that's a pretty good amount of beer,
100 kilos of beer, that'll cover you off for a little while. So that's thanks to Elby and Gage.
A little
Rhodes.
While? That will
last a while.
100 kgs of beer, yeah,
that'll
there
finish,
you go.
Finish of the year, I would have thought, wouldn't it?
And you, if I was you, I'd recommend getting involved now because I won't be 100 kilos for too much longer.
And on our Instagram, you will be able to see all the details if you want to win Zave's weight in beer. So Heidi, Xavier and Ryan.
That's made by LBB and made by WAs.
Catch up with Heidi, Xavier and Ryan on the Hit app. Download it today.
A crime's been committed in many Perth bedrooms and it's time for it to stop. This crime is happening to me as well, and I'd love some advice on 131060. Mm-hmm. Zave, if you were to look out the window, and for the last week in Perth, how would you describe the weather?
Quite gloomy.
Quite gloomy. Hides, do you agree with that?
Yeah, or sharky, as they like to call it sometimes, you know, the surfers. Surfers call it a bit sharky weather.
So I call this tracky pants weather. Yeah. It is tracky pants weather out there. It's cold.
Hoodie,
yeah.
Well, I love a hoodie.
And I just realised that I actually, because I've moved house a few times and thrown some stuff out, I didn't have a hoodie and I didn't have any tracky pants.
I don't have tracky pants either.
Oh, it's so annoying. So I went to You were shocked by that, Zay.
Blows my mind.
Well, I wear my pajamas instead around the house, my flanny pajamas. But anyway,
I mean, same category. I mean, you're not overdressing in the flannel or the pajamas. But I realised that I didn't have any trackies yesterday, so I went and bought myself some.
Nice.
And then I woke up this morning, and I don't know about you guys, but if you wake up a bit tired and it's a bit cold, sometimes just the comfort of jumping into a trackie is really nice.
Oh, and Monday morning tracksuit time. Like, I'd like to do my tracksuit on a Friday, but, like, you know, with my leggings and stuff. But, yeah, Ryan.
Do you mind if I reveal a fraction too much?
Sure.
Often when I wear tracksuit pants, I opt not to wear underwear because it's it's just a comfortable feel.
I regret saying yes to that.
Because of the inside of the tracksuit. Yeah.
Was that too much?
Well, what about you, Ryan? Do you go undies with your tracksuit pants?
Yeah, it just depends. Around the house, probably sans underpants.
Some.
If I was wearing it to work, I'd probably slide a boxer or a brief on there.
Please.
Dave, don't let me tell you how to live your life. So anyway, I woke up this morning, 4:30. It's a bit dark and I usually keep the lights off because Bridget, my partner, is asleep.
Yeah.
And I couldn't find the tracky pants. And I was like, I just don't know where they are. And then I thought, hang on. I know exactly where these new tracky pants will be. So I asked Bridget if she knew where they were.
Hey, Bridge. Do you know where my black trackies are, the new ones I bought?
They're on my legs.
You're wearing them?
Yeah.
I haven't even worn them yet.
Yeah.
Can I wear them to work today?
No.
Okay, we just have to just ask one thing. Did she meow there?
No, that was, can I wear them today? No.
Oh, that was so cute.
But I haven't even worn them one time. Usually if I've had clothes for a few years and then it kind of gets into the rotation,
it's a crime.
Then maybe she can take them. But the fact that she's stealing my clothes without me even having worn them yet.
Also, tracky pants, you can really double down on, wear them for 3 or 4 days straight.
Oh,
and then often the partner's like, oh, truth, I don't know what's ended up in there.
You thought I was gross for wearing my leggings more than 3 times.
Yeah, trackies around home are slightly different.
Yeah, but just, do you know where they are? Yes, I do. They're on my legs.
What is she else does she wear of yours? Because
everything.
Gosh, because Griffo's smaller than me, so I can't fit into his clothes.
Tracky pants, gone. If I've got like a smaller fitting t-shirt, undies, she'll have a crack at. If it's the short shorts, she'll wear them as short shorts. If I've got a singlet, she's like, oh, that'll be great for me to wear to work. And I was like, no, I bought this for me to wear.
She does have a cool little hipster style, so she's probably trying to, you know, you are a hipster as well.
Fremantles.
But is it that she likes your smell and scent? Is that why she's doing
it? Lots of people on Facebook have said maybe it's like a scent thing.
Well,
and I was like, I don't know if you guys have got close to me, but I smell awful most of the time.
Yeah, I wasn't going to tell you, but maybe wear deodorant.
13, 10, 60. Hey, that's what I mean. I'm like, you want to put that shirt on? Go for it. Girls, are you also stealing and thieving your man's clothes? Are you willing to admit to it and maybe explain to me why it is that you can't just go and buy your own bloody clothes and instead you have to steal ours? Or guys on 13, 10, 60, are you also a victim of this crime? And is it time to say enough is enough?
If we get a guy that wears his girlfriend's G-banger, I'll be a happy lady for a Monday.
All right, we'll take that as well. 13, 10, 60, we'll do that up next.
Catch up with Heidi, Xavier and Ryan on the Hit app. Download it today.
Now, let's go to Kingsley. Kat, is this a familiar thing in your household?
Yeah, it is. I'm currently 35 weeks pregnant and nothing of mine fits. Yeah. So I am wearing all of my husband's tops and jumpers.
Oh, and how does he feel about it? Because obviously this is why my partner said don't wear his T-shirts because my boobs stretch out there, you know, across the front chest. What about you? Are you stretching all his clothes?
Oh, yeah. He's got boob marks in all his jumpers and a huge big belly mark as well. A
couple of headlights.
Yeah.
Zay,
would you be a bit more forgiving now that Em's pregnant? Would this be more common in your household?
It's not yet. No, she was wandering around the house on the weekend in a big like onesie thing that stretches around her. So she's
perfect.
She's pretty set. Yeah.
Well, good on you, Kat. All the best with the pregnancy. All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kat.
Now we go to Jenna, who's in Byford. And before we get your story, Jenna, who's listening to the show right now?
Okay, so my partner's supposed to be, first off, hi guys, how you going?
Yeah, hey, thanks, Jenna.
See you every morning at 4 o'clock, love it.
Excellent.
Although it's a bit early.
Yep.
Well, my partner does not know I do this. He knows I wear his shirt, but he should be listening. I borrow his silky jocks to clean it.
You love his jocks.
I love his jocks. They're so comfortable. And for 1 year, because he's born on Christmas Day, I did the sneaky thing and I bought him like 2 extra small jocks and I sold them for myself.
So when you wear and borrow his jocks, Do you just put them back in and not wash them so that he doesn't know, or do you wear them after he's washed them?
You've got to wash them.
Right, just checking.
They've got my scent on them. So.
Just checking. But he wouldn't know, so he's listening right now and he doesn't know that you wear his silky boxers.
No, he doesn't. But
what's his name?
His name is Dylan.
Dylan.
Shout out to you, Dylan. Have a good day today, mate.
Wax some chili in your jocks, Dylan. That'll set us straight.
But who wears silky ones these days? Like
satin boxers.
Yeah, I used to wear them when I was at school.
Yeah, I was like, what else is news in 1994?
Yeah, Brendan Stimpy ones I have.
Often can be quite revealing when you are wearing school shorts as well.
Let's finish up with Helen. Now, you've got a confession to make?
No, I don't have a confession to make. My partner steals my clothes.
Oh, okay. So your partner is male or female?
Male. And he steals my flannies and my baggy tracky pants.
Oh, yeah. Flannies are good.
Don't girls and guys have a slightly different design in that guys will have a bit of more room in the front, if that makes sense?
Well, I do buy men's trackies because they're longer. I'm quite tall and women's ones are never long enough as a leg.
And do you get annoyed with your partner as I do with mine?
Yeah, because when I go to use them on the weekend, they're gone. They're all in the wash or he's wearing them.
Now, is he wearing your undies as well?
No. I don't think he'd fit them.
Because that's it. The guys get the little panel at the front, don't they?
Yeah, little pouch.
What do you mean little panel?
The pouch where you just slip it through.
Oh, not all.
Oh, so not all undies?
No.
Only the ones I wash in my household have the panel?
Yeah, no, I don't.
Some suggestions on Facebook. Buy two pairs of everything.
Smart.
I mean, is that really what I have to do these days?
Poor investment.
It's a real terrible investment. How about Bridget starts buying her own clothes and keeps and when she wants some clothes to wear, go and look in her own cupboard.
Catch up with Heidi, Xavier and Ryan on the Hitter. Download it today.
This topic always makes me super nervous to talk about, but also it's something I'm extremely passionate about in saving lives in Australia, and suicide is something that has affected my family directly, and I know many people are really feeling the loss of Kate Spade, fashion designer, and then just on the weekend, Anthony Bourdain, who sadly took his own life.
Yeah, now if you don't know Anthony Bourdain, he started as sort of like a celebrity chef, but then he ended up doing sort of travel shows where he traveled to different countries, and he's actually been named as one of the most influential people for culture and communities right around the world, a prolific writer, a travel documentarian, is that how you say
it?
Documentary maker. But just an incredibly smart man who was a real gift to the
There's planet. This amazing audio of him that I want to share with you of just him talking. It's very powerful.
We ask very simple questions. What makes you happy? What do you eat? What do you like to cook? And everywhere in the world we go and ask these very simple questions, we tend to get some really astonishing answers.
Now, a lot of people were saying that his passion for life and food, and they had no idea. I mean, there was a few years ago, I think, that he did openly battle mental health issues, but everyone thought that he was okay. And everyone working on the TV show with him at the time in France on the weekend thought he was doing well.
Mm. Yeah, even though he's not a rock star, I think people just put that to, he had a bit of a rock star lifestyle, big drinker, big party, and everyone went, oh, he's just on the booze because he's just a party guy. And you don't think, oh, maybe it's masking something.
There was a thing that went around on the weekend that really struck a chord with me, and it was called check on your strong friend. Now, I'm all about checking on your friends all the time, especially if you notice their behaviour might be different. And I've got a friend at the moment who's acting a little bit out of character, and I called her last night and I said, how are you, mate? Like, what is going on? Like, is everything okay? And there was stuff that was going on in her life. And I think the beautiful thing about friendships is that you connect with people, but I think we just forget because a lot of people are too awkward about this conversation and it's very taboo to talk about suicide.
How do you go into, like, I'd be a bit concerned that I'm prying into someone else's private life too much.
I think sometimes you have to pry, Zaves. And I know people say sometimes that I'm an inspector and I ask a million questions.
Leave me alone, Heidi.
That's just me.
Yeah.
Like, because I'm genuinely interested in people's lives and I hate chit-chat. I'm not a chit-chatter, believe it or not. Makes me really uncomfortable and anxious. So I always kind of tend to go deep and people can open up to me. But it was like I spoke to Griffo, my partner, about this last night because he does a lot of chatting to the guys up on, where he works.
Well, FIFO's obviously a dangerous place.
Yeah, and I said we're so numb to our feelings and stuff sometimes that even when you ask someone and they are going through something, they don't know how to explain to you what is actually really going on. Because the biggest thing that we struggle with in society is vulnerability. I do it. I struggle with vulnerability hugely, which people would go, what, really? In my relationship, I really struggle to speak my truth. But I was reading this amazing article. Like I said, there was a thing that went around, say, check on your strong friend. And it was like Robin Williams' friends, after he took his own life, they said he was always happy. Everyone adored him. Kate Spade's dad came out and said, I just talked to her an hour before and she was planning a trip. She was just like her brand, happy, cheerful and full of colour. Like we just didn't expect it. Anthony Bourdain's best friend said he loved his life and had this extraordinary ability to connect with people. So if you're sitting there going, what do I do? How do we start to make a difference? I really thought that this was impactful from the Huffington Post. They've spoke to a whole heap of experts, and basically they've put together like a productive talk of how you can approach talking about things that might make you a little bit uncomfortable, prying into someone else's life, checking in on them. And the first one is realize that self-harm can happen to someone you know. And it explains to you that don't live in a bubble, basically, yep. That self-harm is real and you'll probably be affected by someone. 8 deaths a day.
Well, 65,000 suicide attempts each year. 65,000.
And 8 people a day in Australia take their lives to take their lives.
Yeah.
Know that bringing it up isn't going to make things worse, so you're not making it worse for them. Talk about the topic of suicide like you would any other health condition. So like we talk about cancer, we need to start talking about suicide.
Or you got a broken leg. Hey, mate, how's your leg?
Yeah. And that's it. You go to the doctor and get your leg fixed, right?
Yep.
So why not go check if that is what you want to do? Speak to someone, you know, a health professional. Open up about any difficulty experiences you can be going through. Really listen when someone is talking to you during this discussion. And they suggest ask direct, pointed questions. Check any bias at the door. So leave your judgment at the door. Accept that you're going to feel uncomfortable. And that is okay. This is an uncomfortable conversation that we've got to have in every day. Don't downplay the issue and speak up over staying silent. And I think that's what I definitely reckon there is a movement of people talking. But when you hear, for me, hearing these losses this week, and I've spoke about on this show before, my grandma took her own life and my dad lived his whole life without a mum. Mm. This is, the issue is real. There are students, there are friends, there are family members, and a lot of people we don't know that are going through stuff because they're putting on a brave face.
And with the use of social media these days, the numbers are just going to get higher and higher. And the pressure that people are getting put under due to keyboard warriors and stuff like that, you don't know where someone is and the breaking point where it possibly could be. So,
well, I've chucked this up on our Insta story, Heidi Xavier and Ryan. I'll leave this with you. I'm doing this thing in my relationship at the moment. It's called radical honesty.
Right.
And it is really hard to be vulnerable because sometimes we don't know how to express ourselves in our relationship. We just please each other. Try and start to speak your truth. If you are really unhappy, don't tell someone that you're doing okay. Please, please try and reach out.
Of course. An absolute lifeline, of course, 13, 11, 14.
Yeah, well said, Heidi.
The Heidi Xavier and Ryan catch up on Hit 92.9.
That Heidi Xavier and Ryan catch up was for the epic new Optus prepaid plans.